January 25th, 2022, month-end meeting at 6:45, and a regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
I'm ready.
Recording in progress.
Leanne, you're all set, right?
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. All right, we're going to start the audit meeting. Welcome everyone to the end of month audit meeting for Town and Row. I know that attendance has been taken and all members are present. And I think we just have a couple signatures.
The last one's right there.
We need to send it.
I think we got three.
Yeah.
That was the last one?
Yeah.
Yep.
We used the one voucher for discussion that I talked about regarding legal services that I could take care of today.
We have a message in with Lewis and Greer to call us back on that.
So we, I don't have a copy of it. Do you have a copy of it?
I don't.
Okay.
It was for $58.
Yeah, so we had a, we were billed for a portion of an hour for when Carla spoke with our outside counsel for tax surgery cases. It was in relation to cannabis. And I didn't think it was appropriate that we were being billed for that. So we have a call. I'm going to ask them that they don't charge them for that because, you know, I don't think it's appropriate for what the question was. So they're usually really good about that. I'm sure that $53 or $58.
$58 and 50 cents.
Yeah, it's not going to be a big deal. They've always worked with us in the past. So that's the only one that was questionable. I think all the other vouchers all have signatures at this time.
The only other discussion was that emergency repair at $4,000. I know it was an emergency.
Did we sign that?
We did sign it. I
yeah.
think you wanted to mention it.
Yeah, I can mention it. This is for, we had a water line break January 6th, and one of our contractors that we have on call for emergency services for the water department was contacted. They're able to take care of the break at Fort Dapperville Drive. The entity that took care of it was the W.J. Morris Excavating Incorporated. They do a lot of work on water infrastructure on an emergency basis, and it is invoice 13515 for $41.92. So I don't know if the board would have any. I'm sure you signed the voucher. Okay, so at this time I'll entertain a motion to pay the bills as audited.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously, and I don't have any other business for the audit portion of the meeting, unless other members do. If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the audit meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Recording in progress.
Started this evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to a regular meeting of the Monroe Town Board for January 25th, 2022. And ask the clerk to call the roll.
Councilmember Stewart?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And would everyone please rise for a pledge of allegiance?
The pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, everyone. First item of business this evening is approval of minutes. We've got three sets. I think all board members are present for the January meetings, so I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes for December 28, 2021, which was an audit meeting.
Motion to approve.
That was actually the regular meeting on the 28th. The audit meeting.
28th was the regular meeting?
Yep, the audit meeting had already been approved.
And I was not present?
Correct. And there were some minor grammatical errors in there that were brought to my attention, so I did make those corrections, as well as changing in the organizational minutes. One of the council people I had is Hogan by mistake.
Okay. So just to be clear, the motion is to approve the minutes for our regular board meeting for December 28, 2021. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I don't think I ever had a motion and a second on that, did I?
Oh, wasn't that a second?
I never had a motion and a second.
Motion to approve.
All right.
Second.
Who made the first motion? All right, you withdraw the first motion.
I'll withdraw the first motion.
All right, so I entertain a motion to, once again, approve the minutes for a regular meeting on December 28, 2021.
Motion to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Same. Abstain.
There we go. And then we can take these together, if you like, for January 4, 2022, which is the organizational meeting, and January 11th, which is the regular town board meeting. Somebody like to hold those?
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Just a brief update on COVID. While following the news, there was a Nassau court a day or two ago that last night was the last
9
night?
9 o'clock last night.
Well, it feels like it was days ago.
Oh, I know.
Which agreed with the argument that the requirement to wear a mask was unconstitutional, and that the legislature was the only body that had the authority to make the law to require wearing a mask. And then this evening, several hours ago, a stay was issued by the health board. Is that right?
It was issued, yes.
Okay, so that's back in force and effect. But there is confusion, I know, with the Department of Education.
Well, if I may.
Sure.
Since I've been dealing with this.
Absolutely.
Last night, the Nassau County Supreme Court decision is binding only in Nassau County. So it is not binding up here at all. And I think that's part of the concern that everyone is having, the confusion, is that the Supreme Court in New York is the trial level court. A lot of people think the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court. So whatever happens in Nassau County is not binding up here. In fact, Albany County in November issued the opposite decision. So there's conflicting decisions, which is why the health division is looking at it, and ultimately the Court of Appeals may look at it. So irrespective of what Nassau County does, right now, Saratoga County, the mask mandate is still in effect.
And I can tell you that Saratoga County is not.
I just wanted to clear up the legal part.
Yeah. And I'll make for case law as other cases come forward, I guess, right? They can point to that decision.
Maybe.
Yeah. So on the numbers, right now in Saratoga County, there's currently 75 individuals that are hospitalized. The number of individuals that are hospitalized that are not fully vaccinated, that number is 37, so it's basically half. The people in the hospitals are those that have not been fully vaccinated. Demonstrating, I think, that it's very important to make sure you're fully vaccinated with your boosters. Here in the town of Moreau, we received home test kits last week. We dispensed all 700 of them rather quickly. We were able to secure an additional 700, and my office has provided another 55 residents with those home test kits. So We've got approximately another 650. If anybody's interested, we have them here at Town Hall. They just need to stop in my office, show a photo ID, proof of residency, and they can secure that. We also was able to get N95 masks, which we're handing out upon request. We have the information on our website also, so anyone interested in those two items, or if you know someone that needs a vaccination, I can be helpful in that, just so you know, and I'll take it from there. Closer to home here in Town Monroe, there are currently 147 positive cases, and in the village of South Glens Falls, that number is 39. Item 3 on the agenda this evening is the waste hauling RFP. I think board members have all gotten a copy of that. The question for the board this evening is what term you would like for the contract. We've had them as short as a year. I think we've had as long as 3 years. The last contract we're coming off of is 2 years. So the question would be, do you want to do another two-year contract, or do you want to do a nine-month and a 21-month contract, because we got an agreement for an extension from the current vendor? And also with that, we need to determine the bid opening date. Just keep in mind that the agreement is for a 90-day extension of the current contract. So, you know, obviously we have to take action before that time period expires. So I don't know what the board's pleasure is on that.
Is there any benefit to any particular length of contract at this point in time? Sure.
Well, if you'll, you know, it's hard to say. You could bid it each way, required as part of the FP. You could do a 1 year and a 2 year. Historically, when we've done longer contracts and we've got pretty good rates, we weren't subject to the increases when you had fuel costs and rise and things like that. But you also run, you know, on the other hand, the other risk of, you know, you do a longer contract and it's a little bit higher and agree to it if things go down. So there's pluses and minuses on both sides.
And my recommendation would be to ask for pricing on both the 1 year and the 2 year, because you may see inflated pricing now. We don't know.
Right.
Somebody may maybe be more aggressive offer this time.
So that would be.
Again, we're talking about the RFP, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's not. We're not getting locked in anything. Yeah. We're just sending it out with the terms of the RFP. So would you want to do a 9 month for the rest of the year? And then
That's to me, that's something that makes sense to true up, so it comes due at the end of the year. That said, lots of things come due at the end of the year. So I don't know what the load is on the supervisor's office and if it helps to have off the calendar year cycle. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I look at the board's preference.
Well, I'm fine with the 9 and 21 months, and if we can throw both out, see what they come back at.
When would you like to schedule the bid opening date for?
Well, probably as soon as we can, because we're against the timeline, right? So,
it would expire, the return agreement would expire March 31st.
Right.
So we have a board meeting second Thursday of February. Or, I'm sorry, March. I don't know how close you want to make it. I would say probably the first board meeting in February, given enough time. I don't know. I think
for bid opening
to put it out and then we would open it on that. I mean, we're going to submit it. We're going to make it available as soon as the board approves the terms of it.
I mean, the first board meeting in March is 5 days.
Well, we'll have
it. Oh, okay. Yeah. Not that in February, it's still a little light.
Okay. So what's the date on that?
8th.
So that's the board meeting. We should probably have a couple of days before that so that council has an opportunity to review.
So have them come in that Friday before.
All right. Mm-hmm. So that's four.
How much notice do I need, though, Carla, to put in the newspaper?
There's no specific requirement. This is an RFP.
Okay, so, all right.
So it seems to me if you go out to, you know, tomorrow, the 26th, you're actually giving them over a month to get these back. I don't know if they're going to need over a month, but...
Did you say February or March?
March.
Oh, March. I apologize. I thought you said February. That's why I was thinking that's too quick.
So March 4th, we're going to do a 2 p.m. bid opening?
Yes.
Is that work for everybody? Yes. So is there a motion on that?
Yes.
So the motion would include a term, the period, which is 9 to 21 months, and bid opening date of March 4th at 2 p.m. here at Town Hall.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item four on the agenda, I received an email from an individual who lives in Johnstown, New York, who owns property in Town Monroe for over 10 years over on Fort Edward Road and is requesting a speed limit reduction. I don't know if she addressed it to town supervisor, so I don't know if we got it or not. But anyway, Nancy Shrivoko, who owns property, well, she resides at 36 Rosewood Avenue, Johnstown, New York, owns property at 77 Fort Edward Road, and she outlines that she's owned the property since 2010 with her husband. It's a heavily traveled road. The speed of the vehicles being a major concern, especially over the past years. The property is located on a curve of this road, and since 2017 or 2018, there have been four accidents, which she details. The first one was summer of 2017 or 18, where a car hit a large tree in the front yard. No injuries, speed was a factor. Summer of 2019 afternoon, her son and grandson were in the front yard throwing a football. Her son said that had he not turned when he did, he and my grandson would have probably been hit. Vehicle took down a utility pole by the driveway to the corner of the house. And the house was without power for several days. The vehicle landed in the front yard upside down. No injuries. Speeding, texting was a factor. Third incident was December 4, 2021, around 3 p.m. Vehicle took down the neighbor's fence. Also, there was a 20-foot flagpole in the front yard and the steps down in front of the house. Vehicle in the front yard, no injuries, speed was a factor. And the final instance was this month, January 18, 2022, around 8 p.m. Vehicle missed the utility pole and the fence, hit her son's truck, and took out the rest of the front steps. Vehicle landed in the front yard, ambulance was called, driver may have had a medical issue that may or may not have contributed to the incident. Not sure about injuries, speed, medical issues were factors. She said she spoke with the Saratoga County Highway Department, senior engineer. He said the road design isn't a factor in these accidents, but the vehicle speed could be. She's also spoken with the Saratoga County Sheriff, and he too says the speed could be a major factor. So writing to us, asking if we could please look into the situation with a request for lowering the speed limit. Hopefully with a lower speed limit, law enforcement patrolling the area, future accidents will be fewer, and the possibility of injuries or worse will be prevented. I said that I'd bring it up at the evening board meeting. The town did request in September 15th of 2010 speed limit reduction from the existing 45 miles per hour. And you know, as a result of that, obviously it was not changed. The office conducted State DOT did do a speed limit investigation of the Fort Edward Road and responded to the same request in a letter dated April 20th, 2009. At that time, they determined that the existing 45 mile per hour speed limit was appropriate for the conditions experienced. So they did not change it. So my recommendation would be to do a resolution requesting another review since 11 and 12 years So I think they require the resolution. So if somebody would like to move for a request to New York State Department of Transportation for a reduction of the speed limit on Port Edward Road between State Route 197 and Bluebird Road. So move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Am I giving them a specific speed limit in there?
Just a reduction.
Okay.
They're going to do a traffic study. Any reduction would be based on results of the study. I think that people would like to see it as low as possible.
Thank you. There's a heck of a lot more. Okay. I've been here now with the
department. Yeah, and I think that's, this is bad weather. Well, we've had a town truck that had issues there. Last year. Item 5 on the agenda is Highway Department. A couple of items. The first one I have is a we need to add to a 2021 PO additional $5,100 for mortar salt. I don't know why this happened. We had to do an adjustment to a PO for fuel at the last board meeting. You know, the department has a need to watch, you know, when they come up against the POs. We authorized the opening of $50,000 PO on October 12th. And now we're for the 2021 fiscal year, we're $5,100 over that. So the money's there in the budget. But it does require that the PO be extended to cover $5,100. So I entertain a motion to open an additional PO in the amount of $5,100 for rock salt for 2021 from Morton Salt Company in Valentine, Illinois.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any discussion?
I'm sorry.
Motion passes. Does anybody want to comment on that? Next item for highway. There's a request, actually a statement on a request, that the highway superintendent will be moving one of the mechanics to the wage scale for mechanic MEO. Individual was hired in 2016. It's Dustin Underwood. This was not brought to us. It was not requested at budget. We didn't budget money for it. And I believe the highway superintendent only has the authority to do that kind of unilateral action if the town has provided for it in the budget. Is that accurate?
That's right.
So, you know, without looking at the budget, I don't know what the board's thoughts on it, but, you know, that's why we have budget workshops, to find out what the future is for the next year. And, you know, I don't think we can do, well, we can't do that, you know, without the money being there. So I don't know if the highway committee wants to review that, talk with the highway superintendent, figure out how they're going to pay for it.
I would like the highway committee to talk to the department head and figure out the problem. Get the whole story, number one, because we would be happy to meet in the executive session. If warranted. But and by the way, make it happen, it should happen, because it's my understanding that this particular employee has been asking for a while. Early contract, it should have been brought forward. So now we have an employee, potentially, kind of a little story, that I want to see harm if there are merits to that discussion. So.
Okay, so we'll send it to the highway committee for review recommendation. And I guess we'll have to make sure that it's not telling me being paid on January 30th. So report act on it.
Commissioners, I've got a copy of the highway tractor mower bid documents. Paul's looking for approval to put the bid specs out for bid. I could be what I have right here. I'll look at it on the So this is something we had budgeted for 2022 year. We budgeted $124,840 for a new roadside mower with two flat mowers with it. And this is potentially to replace the mower we have. So the way the bid documents are, it's either outright purchase or a trade. So we'll have options when the homeowner gets back to us if they're interested in it. We'll send it out to the usual dealers that respond to the municipal request. So I don't know if you're okay with that, Mark. We'll send it out. So we will need to establish a bid opening date and time for that. Is that accurate?
I have some comments for Paul.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, I'm sorry.
For Paul. That's okay. Just to clean up the bid document. So I will send them to him tomorrow. We can still.
So we'll stick down board approval to put it out, subject to review by council and the highway superintendent.
Yes.
Make sure all legal concerns are addressed.
Yes, there's just a couple of things that need to be fixed.
All right.
Nothing substantive.
All right. So. I don't have a recommendation for the recommendation. So what would the board like to do? My recommendation would be to give them some time because I think the longer they do, the more opportunity for additional vendors to do that. We could do it at the same time as what we just did for weeks.
Which is about 6 weeks.
Yeah. So the resolution would be authorizing the highway superintendent to put out the bid specs for a new tractor, highway tractor and mower that includes a trade option or an outright purchase subject to review and approval by town council.
For March
4th, 2 p.m.
So,
second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Is it okay that both bid openings are the same exact time?
I would do it at 2:10, maybe. 2 and 2:10.
They can be there at 2, and then you'll start at 2:10.
Okay.
That work?
That's fine.
So it's the legal document. I'm going to advertise it for 2 o'clock is what I'm asking.
You're going to advertise it as 2:10.
Thank you.
6 on the agenda is the building department. What I have there is, I think all board members got a copy of correspondence from our zoning administrator in relation to Tyball's request for a change of zoning. As part of that process, in order for that process to move forward, the town board has to refer to the planning board for review and comment. And I know that council has provided a brief resolution for that. So the first question is that what the board wants to do at this point in time?
Push it to
refer to the planning board for comment?
Yeah.
I have some questions I want to ask to Jim Martin, and I haven't been able to do that in this time, so I'm not comfortable right now pushing it forward. Before I talk to Jim Martin about just my own kind of understanding what's going on with the request there, but that's my own thought on that.
I don't even know. Have you had a chance, Mark, to review the documents?
Former council member Hogan gave that to me, and some of the any other items in the past council may have had a chance to brief on that and summarize on that. Wants to change six lots, I believe.
Yeah.
Parcels.
Yeah.
So I need to meet some commercial.
Yeah. So, any other comments?
Does everyone understand the purpose of this? Why we have to do this process?
Mm-hmm.
That we've already referred to PUD over the plan. So this is not the PUD part. This is just there's slivers in the back that are in the residential district. And he's asking that to be moved into the C1 district so that he can actually have a PUD. You can't, the way your code is written, you can't have a PUD in residential. So by all you're doing is you still have, if this is the local law, it will be a change. So you refer it back over to the planning board for their recommendation. They kick it back to you and say, we think you should make this zoning change. It's ultimately up to you to make that zoning change.
Yeah, still.
This is not something you're kicking over to planning board and planning makes the ultimate decision.
Right.
You're asking planning to kind of go through the due diligence and then bring it back to you. And you decide. You don't have to take their recommendation. I want to make sure Councilman Newman understands this is not. You're just pushing this to the planning board for their for them to look at if they're the board that deals with this kind of
information. Sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably still passed even if I don't decide to approve. You know, right? I mean, that's not. I don't have to be a part. Or does it have to be unanimous from our board?
No.
Right. So I'm okay with this process. Do we have to have a motion to present the planning board?
Yes.
Okay. I am. Thank you for.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I appreciate
it's
that.
A little odd because you have a clause in your code, which I think we need to mm-hmm. remove because I'm not sure why this goes to the planning board. But that's what the code requires.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little law.
Well, I'm not sure what we're saying. I personally would like to get a moving at least of the next process. I don't know why this, and I know that the applicant is the way to, you know, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get a little bit of time work for you.
I'd like to move it over.
If they send them back to us as well, if we're not, we can act on it ourselves after their recommendations.
You have to.
So, yeah. Take their recommendations and move forward.
Yeah, I think I want to be respectful of my colleague who's requesting more time to get answers from the zoning administrator. So at this time, I would be supportive of deputy supervisor's position on it. But you know, somebody wants to make a motion, that's fine.
I'll make a motion to move over for you.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I will oppose.
Not opposed. Any abstentions? So motion carries 3-2. Do we have to do any more on that this evening?
No.
Next item on the agenda is number 7, Townwide Trails. As the board knows, we were fortunate enough to receive a $250,000 grant from the Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation of New York, and we've also received grants from Saratoga County 2 years in a row now. And so the question is, I'd reach out to the LA group to see if they would be interested in administering the grant. I've actually received 2 calls now the past 2 days from Parks and Rec that wanted to talk to me about some deadlines that are required in order to get the monies from the federal government, I guess it's a pass-through. So I haven't had a chance to talk with the state office on that, but I did not hear back from the LA group to see if they wanted to provide a proposal to us. But I just wanted to update the board on where we are with that. And I think I mentioned that a member of our planning board, Eric Bergman, is very interested in assisting whatever we do along that trail, along the river with that trail. He wants to be a part of that, which is great. So I actually spoke with him today on that. So I'll update the board as soon as I hear back from the LA group. I mean, like, proposal like this, I think it's important to have professional oversight of the grant, make sure we're doing everything appropriately so that we can get the funding.
The LA group will be part of the state
agreement. Yeah.
The process so that they're not, they already have to keep up.
Right. So, I'll keep you posted on that. Number eight on the agenda I have is NEXAM. I believe the board has received a copy of correspondence from representatives of NEXAM. And there are some questions that came up. Did you read the correspondence, Council, as well from one of their VP?
From Mr.
Gutierrez,
and I responded back to him and to a couple folks here.
Was that in relation to the pilot?
It was related to the pilot, the access drive.
All right. So I know Monday of this week you're looking to find out whether we work with the assessor to figure out the cost of the pilot in these cases. We do not have that information yet. But there are some other questions they would like addressed. I think that is in the January 13th email to myself and town council regarding the decommissioning bond, the utility and access easement. So just a refresher on the decommissioning bond. They're indicating that the town engineer has agreed that the decommissioning cost is appropriate, but recommended that the planning board, town board, determine their acceptance of the bond form. Well, I don't think we have a dollar amount on that yet. So
there's a dollar amount, but I haven't emailed out to the town engineer just to verify the piece with everything as well.
All right, so we need to hear back from the town engineer on that. And then they've attached a bond form for legal review.
That's what I was looking at in emailing.
Okay. And they're indicating the example paid for legal review. If acceptable, we would appreciate a formal notice to the planning board so that they would feel comfortable providing approvals for the project, which has otherwise been viewed favorably. And then item two, utility and access easement. As you recall, NEXAM has proposed building a road to town specifications up to the sub-base of New York State DOT for gravel top in return for ability to use this newly constructed road to access the parcels where the project is proposed. So they're looking for, you know, follow-up to the presentation at the last meeting, I believe. I can't remember. A couple meetings ago, maybe. And they indicated that they'll work with the town highway supervisor to discuss the details. And I don't know if they can speak with the highway superintendent if this is the next correct step. And then the final item is, it's their understanding the town will be issuing a townwide pilot requirement per town board resolution. Has there been a date set for that meeting? And we haven't gotten that far. We have some more work to do. So I guess probably the only thing that we don't have clarity on is what the board wants to do, if anything, with their request for utility and access. I don't know if the board is ready to discuss that tonight. I don't know, Mark, I know you were part of those conversations last year. Board would like to review and maybe submit your thoughts on it. We'll bring it up in the next board meeting. that works for everybody.
And it's kind of nice to do that.
And we'll have some more answers on the pilot issue right now. So we don't have to take any other action tonight, right?
Sure.
Okay. Item 9 is water department. We got a lot of things going on there. Had a long conversation with Mike Mooney yesterday. As you recall, we had directed him to work with a town engineer in my office as far as utilizing Jeff Cruz for what our historical spending and financial deficit for all the water districts. And so he has put together, and I think all the board members have a copy of that rate analysis that he has done. There's a couple of time-sensitive things that we need to consider. But I'm going to hit some of the highlights in doing the rate analysis. One of the things that he recognized in talking with Jeffrey that we had our capital projects, which are painting of the water tower and the Van Buren extension for the force main, which we have lumped into the regular water budget. His recommendation is that that should be pulled out and be separate so that when they look at historical numbers for rates, it's based on operational and maintenance. That capital projects are removed from that because they can really skew what kind of rates you need from year to year. So that's approximately $410,000 that you would separate from the general from the financial accounting. If you recall, we've consolidated our water districts so they're not broken out by each water district. We only have one water district. And so what we're trying to do here is make sure we're on the right side of a comptroller audit because they would frown upon having that those capital projects included in there. So his recommendation is to pull the $410,000 out of the budget and put it in a capital fund and keep it separate from the operational budget. In talking with the town engineer and looking over the financials, he's got a recommendation of revising the capital charge to $56 per EDU. And the reason is that the capital fee is to cover the debt. So a simple calculation, if just on the math there, over 285,000 divided by number of EDUs comes out to $55.41, and his recommendation was to make it even $56. The previous recommendation was the debt minus the power rent revenue divided by EDU. He also recommends establishing a minimum usage of 36,000 gallons per year per unit. And what this will do is ensure that every customer is billed for at least the minimum charge. He says there's many reasons this is important. And a simple example would be to a resident that only occupies a home for 6 months out of the year would not get a bill, and that's not equitable to the other ratepayers in the district, which is a very good point. And he's recommending that the usage rate be set uniformly at $2.60 per thousand gallons. And he says that this rate is adequate to cover all expenses with a contingency of $200,000, which is important for any emergencies that may come up. So I don't know if the
questions. What's so our current way we do it, it's a minimum charge unless you go over.
Correct.
Then you're paying your on the
At present, the way the rates are set, there is no minimum charge at all. It's $2.60 per 1,000 gallons of usage, plus the rate of $36 per EDU for the capital charges.
Right. I guess I don't know why I asked the question, but I know, but what would an average bill, how would an average bill change, and we're going to probably get them soon to see them, correct? What would an average bill change look like? Because I know within my house, I always just pay the minimum. I say the minimum, like last year.
Well, when we had six different districts, some of the districts did have minimum bills because of the debt that they had in the districts. And then there were two districts, District 2 and 4, that had no minimum bills at all because there was no debt in those districts.
Right.
So now combining it all the debt is lumped together. And so what Mike Mooney is suggesting is that everybody pay a minimum bill. That's the way I'm understanding this.
Okay. So I have some notes here. I just want to make sure I report it accurately. So he gave the example in a rate comparison that if you have, let's say you have 50,000 gallons of usage annually, he said under the old methodology, it would be $179.50. Under what he's proposing here, it would be $186. Mm-hmm. That's for, I think, District 1. You know, if you use that again, because they had different rates.
Right.
In the second to last page,
you
can actually see some are up and some are down. To the point of short page, you know, we also are taking the lower spread of debt across all of the spread expense across everybody as far as cash.
In the register. So we'll be talking about it a little bit further down underwater, but we have translucite pipe. That's extremely expensive to repair. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, but we need to have a reserve fund set aside for that kind of work, and he has a recommendation on that. So at this point, he is saying that we would need those three resolutions to be approved. We can come back to that. But any more questions on the first action items?
Is that first action item would be approving the capital charge to $56 per year?
Yes, and it would be separating the $410,000 into a capital account. Take it out of operation.
And I guess just some comments on that I might still have here. There's no other calculations we can come up with. I just know that we, in terms of educating the public on why we make decisions, I feel as if, I think we did a good, some of us did a good job explaining the $36 increase. That's going to take effect. It hasn't taken effect yet. I mean, it's taken effect at the beginning of the year, but have those bills gone out yet?
No, not till March 1st.
So not till March 1st. And then prior to those going out, we are going to now up that to $56. But that's because we're going to be taking the money out of. We're not counting the rent on the towers. Is that the idea? Where that additional $20 came from?
So I think, I don't want to speak for Mike, but I think he was indicating that the rent would go into capital reserve.
Okay.
Which I think is a great idea instead of using the offset rates.
Because
our rates are some of the lowest municipal rates.
Right. Right. Are we financially in a spot where this has to be raised, I guess is my question.
Yes.
So,
and I'll talk about that.
Okay. And I just want to make sure that we're still doing the least amount necessary ultimately.
Well, these are lower. It's actually that's why this meeting took place because of the initial recommendations were in some instances a little bit higher, mm-hmm. and we didn't want them to be any higher than they have to be to make sure we're planning for the future. You know, the fact that we don't have a capital, we have no plan in place to do replacement, periodic replacement of translucent line, which has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Very expensive. That there could be catastrophic breaks down the road that just keep happening when you fix the section.
Right.
And so his recommendation is to, take some. We have collectively we have about $2 million fund balance. His recommendation is to put a minimum of $1 million in a capital reserve fund for, replacing the translucent pipe, which is asbestos. And so you don't want to take it out. His recommendation is to leave it in the ground and put the pipe next to it because you have all kinds of environmental requirements that you get involved with. And he said you don't want to go down that road because that would be extremely cool. So the second item, and we'll come back to, we can go back to what that looks like through this recommendation first, at least once. Second item is in relation to administrative operations of the water department. It's his firm belief that we can operate effectively our water department if we had a full-time clerk that was exclusively responsible for billing, answering questions regarding infrastructure, explaining how to hook up, available whenever a resident has a question that's not out in the field. And I agree with him. I think we should establish a position of clerk, full-time position for water department. They can operate out of my office if they have to. There's a room in there in a couple months. And he also indicated that if you had a full-time clerk that was charged with water billing and other administrative duties, and you had a full-time laborer, that department could be very effectively run. And he actually may have a couple of names for us for a labor position in the near future. He had a death in the family, so he'll be out of town for next week. So I don't have any more information on that. But anyway, as he indicated in the memo, he says it's a strong recommendation that the board hire or transfer the existing clerk to solely work for the water department. He says, as I understand, the town's vehicles are to upgrade the billing system and user interface that includes online bill pay and a portal with a future goal of billing on a quarterly basis. This cannot be achieved or sustained long-term without a clerk working exclusively for the water department. Budget includes funding for this position. As you know, that we have a dramatic level of savings in how we're operating our water budget right now. So the money's in there to create the position. I think we had budget for 3 positions in this year's water budget. And moving on, I did talk briefly about fund balance. In the case of the water department, currently has a fund balance in excess of $2.5 million. The exact amount of the existing fund balance can only be estimated at this time since the books have not been closed for 2021. However, he said it would be safe to establish a capital replacement reserve fund with $1 million. He says if the board agrees to these recommendations or a modified version, the board will need the following resolution, and that's to create a capital reserve account and transfer $1 million from the fund to the balance, which that's subject to permissive referendum, so we'll have to follow the requirements of law for that. Okay. That's item 3. Item 4, we touched on a little bit earlier in relation to asbestos pipe. He says, as you know, our water system contains a large amount of asbestos pipe in the old District 4. LaBerge Group prepared the attached cost projection of what it would cost to replace these lines at some point in the future. The long-term plan will be to continually fund the capital replacement reserve to fund this and any other replacement projects. Item 5 is a budget of detail. He said that attached to find the 2022 budget estimates with category details The town of Monroe has never done this, where we broke it out, where you actually know what real, actual electric costs are, things like that. And this is good because it helps the board or anyone who's interested get a better idea of the items that are included in the water department budget. And he said that's just informational, doesn't require action. And then the final item in his report is in relation to Assistant Grove Water. The owner of Assistant Grove has decided to start putting water line in the project. He says this is being done at their own risk, and they're aware that the project is not fully approved, that there may not be sewer capacity for it at this moment. This work will have to, a full-time inspector and engineer will certify that has been completed pursuant to the plans. There's some issues with that work. I have a conference call tomorrow morning with special counsel for water and sewer on that, and the town engineer. There's some concerns about that work moving forward without all necessary approvals in place. So I'll have more information on that tomorrow. So, I guess the easiest part of the discussion is where you want to go with the first item on the revised water rate and fee schedule, which included the items we just went over. So, I'll entertain any additional conversation and comments on that.
I know that we need to ultimately move forward. This is the first time we've probably had a man passing Alex and Michael who has to offer this to us. So, and I appreciate that and I respect that. I don't want to keep being a no guy tonight, but again, the board is the board, a bit more than just me. You know, I look at the rate changes and I don't know. I mean, I go back and forth because I know that our water rates are extremely low. They've been low. It's great. People love that. For the most part, most people are probably going to be just fine and okay with this. You know, there's a change of an estimated change of $650 for District 1, and then we got about $56 change for District 2, $18.50 change for District 3, $56 change for District 4. These are all increases, $20% change in District 5, and in District 6, their bill gets less by $14, so they're going to love this.
Well, they're also paying, they were paying more.
Right, so I guess I'm looking at an equitable change. So it's up and down. You know, I guess I'm hoping, I do like numbers, and they're just not, and I don't have any reason to not trust these numbers right now. They're just not 100% sense to me, but I don't want to necessarily hold the board either in moving forward with this. But just any discussion that might help me understand. And I'm not against, I guess ultimately I'm not opposed to the change. I just know that we're going, you know, we're trying to represent, at the end of the day, it will be equal across the board, $186 for everybody, with their $56 capital charge. Now, is that something that's a yearly rate or a quarterly, if you go quarterly? So split up four times.
The 56, I'm assuming, is an annual rate that you would split by however many times you want to bill. Right now, everything's set to bill semi-annual.
Okay. Those are my comments.
Well, specific item, you know, 1A, B, C, and D, I'm fully supportive of the moving money over the capital project. No question there. I also am a big fan of raising the rate from the 36 to the 56 that we just did, but with all things you consider in my mind, it makes a lot of sense. It's an increase, I get it, but it's spread across the entire user base. It is significantly less in my mind in contrast to the potential expense because of the lack of us having prior fortitude to put reserve funds in place. So especially with that asbestos pipe, I mean, that's a $10 million project or some number close to that. And so the overall population of the customer has the expenses spread across the entire population to me I'm probably be a lot more comfortable and I'd be a lot more supportive of it. And it's always 60 cents per rate is a very favorable rate. So in my mind, at least on this topic, the one exception one, I'm supportive of it for the reason you mentioned.
Appreciate that action.
Yeah. Any other thoughts or comments?
Yeah, obviously I wasn't part of the previous one at 36, but as Councilman Tassel and both bring up good points, the numbers just make sense for what we need to get. It's a fair across the board. I guess action one, that would be in the report.
You know, this is, I'm sorry, you can move on. Having served on the board for several decades, the old way of doing things doesn't position the town and protect our water users for the future, quite honestly. And this is what we're trying to accomplish here is badly overdue. It's nobody likes to any of your what I call the pocketbook issues, taxes, sewer rates, water rates. You know, nobody likes to see an increase. Everybody likes to see a decrease. But the reality is, from my perspective, that we have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that the infrastructure that we have in place can be maintained. We can provide the level of service that our residents expect, and we can provide for growth. And if you're not checking all three of those boxes, I don't think we're doing the job that we're sent here to do. So, the tough choices, there's no question about it. But what I see here is with this new structure and rate schedule, we have a very high probability of planning for a catastrophic event that otherwise is not planned for. And we owe it to our ratepayers to make sure that we are planning for, one of these, a major break and pipe that is, very expensive to repair or replace. Because if we don't have, the reserve money's there to do it, guess who we're coming? They pay for it every day. And we're going to have to do crazy increases in rates. So I think we're taking the right action if we move forward with the recommendations of our acting superintendent.
I don't think it's blocked by any board member that we keep referring to the asbestos pipe goes beyond. There's no other significant capital reserve for the rest of the system. And that includes water towers we have some money budgeted this year, but there's no other capital reserve. So it's a bigger topic than just the asbestos, I guess.
Yeah, no question about it. And I would just say, for the record, because I know that some board members will receive correspondence in some fashion from ratepayers and districts that didn't have any debt last year. Well, it's those districts that are at the greatest risk, and here we are, we're going to take $2.5 million. We're willing to put $1 million there to make sure they're protected. So, that argument is more important.
And I think after that interaction I've had with some of the people in that district, when they understand that very point and they start to realize that the exposure is much greater than the expense, they quickly come around to at least the ones I spoke to view it from the same way.
And I appreciate all this discussion. I really do. This is really helping me. I support, because I just, we just need that happen. So that
No, absolutely. I mean, it's important that get everybody's positions in and have good discussion on it. So what I'm hearing, I think, is that the board does want to take action on those three items, which is, well, we can't do the 410 or the $1 million, but we can do the administrative move of the 410 with directions of Jeffrey to pull that out of the operating account and do a capital fund.
Are you looking to do it as a capital reserve account?
He's called it he's calling it capital project budget.
The budgeting that's fine, but if it's going to be a reserve.
Well, they're already, so in our discussions, it will be used for that. It's not just a pot of money that could be used for any kind of capital project.
Right, no, I understand, but at this point, does he want it, or does the board want it set up as a capital reserve account? Because that has to be set up differently. It's going to indicate the bonus referendum.
Yeah, I think.
Or is it a separate account?
I think a separate account is the way I understand
it. It's just a separate account, and you can't do that.
Okay, so the board's okay if Jeffrey, do we need a resolution to do that? Or
I would do a motion just all right. So you have an
idea. So I guess the first motion would be to earmark an amount of $410 that was budgeted for the 2022 water budget from operational account and have it utilized for capital projects, specifically the painting of the water tower and the Van Buren construction project.
Not $410.
I'm sorry, $410. If they can do it for $410, then Jeffrey would love it.
That's all you're saying.
Jeffrey would love it for that. So,
to approve. We're taking it 1 to 5.
Yes.
Under second.
Any discussion? Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And then the, as we discussed, the second recommendation is to set the capital charge at $56 per EDU per EDU. And that the, I guess we do them together, okay, we do them together. And the rate per thousand. So the I entertain a motion to set the capital charge for an annual rate of $56 per EDU and set the 2022 water rate at $2.60 per thousand gallons with a minimum usage of 36,000 gallons per year. Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
This is not ad valorem pricing. This is rate.
Yep.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry, anyone with any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So that's that. So for the capital reserve, you'll have to prepare documentation. I guess we'll take that up.
Can I get a copy of this?
Yes. Our new council members taking care of it.
Because I took care of an email last
night.
So basically, the only other actionable item he's requesting is in relation to having a full-time administrative clerk. This is a civil service position. There is a water clerk list, and there is a clerk list. We have monies in the budget to establish the position. My recommendation would be to establish a clerk position. We've interviewed, I think we've interviewed almost, well, we went through the list. That's how we got the new hire for the billing department. And I would recommend bringing that person at the same pay rate that we just hired the clerk in the billing department, which was $38,500 for the full time. Because we can't interview off the list until we create the position. So this isn't hiring anybody, this is creating the position. You know, you could go all year without filling it, but that would make my money very happy. And probably make clerk a little happy.
We have it without any, or we have plenty of room for the already established.
Yeah.
And Mr. Schumer, what was the rate we had?
Annual salary of $38,500. which is what we hired the last clerk for building. I'm sorry, the last clerk we hired at Town Hall was in the building department. Was that the same? So there'd be a motion to create the position of clerk at a rate of $38,500 full time with usual benefits package for full time clerk. So move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So I think we're all set on water for now. We have one more item on water, right?
Yeah, I just don't know what I'm expected to do moving forward. Am I still billing semi-annual like we always have been and monthly, or are you changing it? What am I doing?
So when I was talking with Mike, he said the board needs to decide, number one, what direction you want to go. My belief is we need to transition to quarterly billing. But to get there, you got to figure out which vendor you would like to go with. I know we didn't act on the last board meeting so that more time could be spent evaluating proposals. I don't know if the board had a chance to do that or not, or a chance to talk with Mike Mooney on that.
I've read and understand the information provided by the firm. Thank you. But I haven't had a conversation with Mike Mooney yet.
So, the only issue, we don't have to take action tonight on it, but if we don't backing us up against the deadline, if you're going to do quarterly, because it has to go out March 30th, when's quarterly have to go out?
That's up to you folks. We've never done it quarterly. So quarterly to me would be January and then April, right? January, March, April. April 1st.
Which
we would have missed the January 1st billing.
Right, which we knew we were going to do. So... So basically, the new quarterly billing, we've got to have the staff in place. We've got to have the program in place. So I don't know if the board wants to do it. Do they need more time to evaluate?
My recommendation, based on what I know of the situation, is that we stay on the same billing cycle and get the resources and people in place. Let's pick the program and let's get this person hired because we feel that it's going to be a significant lift. So if I hear it correctly, it's not, we don't have to. We can make that decision to move to quarterly at any point in time.
Yes.
If we're in a good spot, we've got through this first billing cycle, and we can make that decision later in the year. Before another billing cycle. Does that sound accurate? Okay.
That's entirely up to you folks.
I would support that. I know going to quarterly right now with you, just you, would add a whole other level of it's a lot more work. So I think we don't move to quarterly until we get the person in place. With that being said, do we have to change software now, or do we go, because you are comfortable with what we're working with and there's an online portal, I think you said, correct?
People can pay online right now.
So that's
the only thing that's different with Mike Mooney's program is he has autopay set up, which we can't do with our current program. We would need to move to the new utility billing or to a different utility billing to have an auto pay.
I guess my thought would be to keep it business as usual until we get that person in place that ultimately becomes the overseer of all of that. And then that person, and then it's gone from the clerk's office, correct? Essentially, the clerk, and the clerk that moves up, Leanne's job at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask a quick question? Do we have to make a decision based on was there a change happening with our current vendor?
I was told last year around August time that we weren't going to be supported with our utility billing, that there was a new program out there, and if we didn't go with the new program, they were going to not support what we have. So that's what I had presented to you folks a long time ago. I recently found out that that's not true, because there's no way they could convert 70 to 80 accounts within the course of 1 year. So I think my memo states to you folks that you can leave everything as is. They've already billed us for this year's maintenance agreement if you wanted to just move forward and keep the same program that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not any kind of a rush, although they are asking me, you know, what's the decision of the board? Do we want to move forward with it? There's money budgeted for it. That's up to you folks.
Why don't we do this? If the water company is willing to meet with Leanne and Mike, maybe go back and forth, work out between, you know, how best to we should move forward. And then make a recommendation for our next board meeting and we'll plan acting on that work for you, Leanne?
It does, yes. I mean, just so that you all know, normally we would bill March 1st.
Yeah.
They have to go out and start reading meters beginning of February.
That's what
so.
Mike was saying. If you're going to start quarterly, like ASAP, this all has to be taken care of ASAP. So
quarterly won't have to be ASAP because that won't be till April 1st.
Right.
Okay. If you're going to stay with semi-annual, if you want to keep things as it is for now, then we do have to move along because they have to start reading the meters the beginning of February so we can get all of those estimated ones in and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I think now am I done with water, Leanne?
I think so.
Okay.
For now.
For now, I know. It's going to be like a bad thing. All right. So next item is Recreation Department. We have an update on our 2007 Club Cart XRT, which needs significant work. Basically, having it reviewed by the dealer, or evaluated by the dealer, these new front half shafts for it, new mounting plate for front differential, the frame required aluminum welding, and these new emergency brake assembly ratchet, and front and rear brakes. And so, that's approximately $2,300 in repairs. But he's looking for the possibility of another additional $1,000 in expenses if he has to replace the clutches. So he's looking for permission to spend up to $3,500 to make all the necessary repairs. I do have some concerns on this because if you look at the budget for 2022, which was adopted under contraction, this is where this repair would come from. We plugged in and approved all the numbers that were requested by the rec leader. And for equipment repairs, the request was only for $2,000. So I don't have any paperwork, I don't know if other members of the board do, as to the recommendation on where this money would be coming from. Because if you look at contractual, the total amount is $60,000, and of that, $5,400 is for park improvements, $15,000 is for field characterization, $4,000 is for splash pad water, and $2,000 is for equipment repairs. So the question is, how do we pay for it if the board wants to move forward with a repair, or do they not want to do a repair and wait and do a replacement? In the next fiscal year, I don't know what the board's budget is. So I'm looking for direction on that.
I think we could probably go for the rec leader to find the money outside of our fund because he would have to. That said, I'm going to be on a few of the other board members that know a little bit more about this kind of equipment. I'm not sure I know it's a good investment out of 2007. A piece of equipment. That's where I lack a little bit of clarity. I do know that this equipment is used in a heavy way, and there's some things in the field and something else we can play, moving the trails. So there's some stuff that this thing needs.
So the regulator is available online if you want to talk to him right now, because I know he's got a couple of comments that maybe we want to hear about. He had said he had asked for an additional $2,000 to be added to the contraction for unexpected, and he said we did grant that. So I don't know if I just get him on and chat with him.
That's fine. I'm holding the document from what he requested for approval. So.
Okay.
That's fine. But we again, you know, we have a request to spend the money, but there's no paperwork on what we require, what account is coming from, how much is there. So, you know, it's outside the norm of our typical policy, which kind of wastes the board's time. We have a discussion on it, and then I'll take it.
Fair point. Councilman Stewart and I can work with the rec department to get the proper paperwork together. Do you have any other conversations with the rec here?
State email to me at the end of this week. Obviously, the other paperwork is also myself here. So I did not know that need to be prepared, and again, I figured it's just going to come up with where the funds were going to come from. So it sounds like we're very close with his budget if it stays at the 2,300 instead of additional 1,000 that is going to be full.
And there'll be no other, this is only the first month of the year, so if there's other equipment there. So my recommendation would be to table it, have the rec committee work with the rec leader for how we want to pick. Well, first of all, if the committee wants to residency. That's fine.
Peter, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. You have the floor.
So our contractual budget covers a great deal of things, including equipment, maintenance, and repair throughout the year. What I had done was ask the board to increase that line by $2,000, which you were gracious enough to do for 2022, knowing that we didn't replace any equipment in the 2022 budget and that a lot of it is older and aging. So any repair money that we spend for equipment has to come out of the contractual line. So it's not that we don't have money in there. We actually have more money than we would have had any other year to make equipment repairs if they were necessary, if that makes sense.
So I just want to be clear. I'm well aware that it has to come out of contractual. That's my whole point. My point is, we have no paperwork. You didn't submit any paperwork as to where you would like it to come from out of contractual. You know, all our department heads and anybody who's been around here long enough recognize that we have a policy. If we're going to be asked to expend funds to list what the current balance is of the account, what account would be utilized, and how much the request is, with three quotes. I don't have any of that paperwork. I'm not sure if any other board members do. That kind of bogs things down here when we don't have that.
So the paperwork doesn't exist. Given the time frame that we were under to try and act, I didn't get that form completed. This is a dealer-only item, so there wouldn't be three quotes anyway. And again, the money has to come out of the park's contractual line. That is the only place it could come from. But if the board or the rec committee would like, I'd be happy to put the proper paperwork together and resubmit at the next board meeting. If we do that, it should be noted that there's no guarantee the work would get done on the same or a similar timeline. Sack Sales has a lot of other equipment, I'm sure, that they're working on. So our machine is sitting in their garage apart at the moment. I don't know what they'll, you know, have to do. Put it aside and move on to other things, and a month from now potentially come back to it.
So
this piece of equipment is quite essential to what we do during the wintertime as far as trail grooming and winter maintenance in the park. It is the only track vehicle that we have, so any more snow that is currently on the ground is going to make our job very difficult down there.
So, Peter, respectfully understand all those points. The challenge is also that the contractual line for equipment repairs in the adopted budget doesn't match what you're saying of that particular contractual line for repairs related to 2000. So let Councilman Newman and I work with you. He and I will talk after the meeting. We'll be here tomorrow. And we'll move through it as expeditiously as we can.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. So before we move off that topic, I guess the question is, does the board want to repair the equipment, knowing that it's 2007, and knowing that it's probably new ones in the neighborhood of 16,000?
Yeah, I guess I would just ask some fellow board members that I know have a little bit more experience in this kind of equipment on their opinion on that. So I'll open the recommendation to the county getting feedback on that.
All right. Yeah. So that would be part of the conversation.
Good thing. Yeah.
Would there be any other funds available to purchase a new one as opposed to contractual?
Not there. Not in contractual.
Right.
I mean, there might be some other options we can. But the committee move quickly to talk to the department head and fellow board members, and we'll make some recommendations.
Good.
Perfect.
Expanded into Idaho,
in Wisconsin, and they want to get up into the northeastern portion of the United States. And they thought that the location of our industrial park, being close to Route 4, and getting up into Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine would be ideal. So it's actually an agricultural-oriented business. Provides goods for livestock, which would be awesome. And there'd be a symbiotic relationship with our sole tenant there now, who is a supplier of goods for the company. So hopefully they follow up with us. We'll be on that. Let's see what else. That's all we have. Committee reports. I have a request from my office. As you know, we moved to accept Tammy's resignation. Her last day physically in the office is March 18th, so my office is requesting approval to advertise for the position. I would like to refer to the personnel committee to see if, you know, if you still want to have that position, knowing that it will be a full-time water person.
Well, we can take it up separate, but if it's a full-time water person, I mean, so do that person that could even come in my understanding.
We could.
Be a few people in the office would like to do that position.
Yeah, so we have, we still need, if you recall, Rudy's position for part-time. Yeah. So at minimum, we need to have a part-time person in there. I guess the question would be, you know, do they want to have a fill a position at full-time, part-time, and number two would be 1 hour. So, I'm not going to feel like tonight. I know the board would like, or my office would like us to move as quickly as possible, because they're running.
Would it solely be the building coordinator duties?
Building coordinator and other support duties, probably, with my office, because you know, we still, even though we're transitioning out of payroll, my office is still involved in doing certain record keeping as part of that, which is time consuming. So when that's happening, you know, my confidential secretary is taken away from some of the things that may actually do.
Oh,
I mean, my
opinion
on that. Like to see it stay full time, see how busy they are. The added task they get thrown at them, COVID's the example right now. Mm-hmm. There's always something else that needs to be done in your office. Obviously, there's so much. And obviously, I think we said let's get ahead of it and put it out there. So, what do you want to do?
So, you want to have a stand for it?
Yeah. I'd like to basically do full time.
All right, so we'll need a motion to advertise to the position. That'll be vacated on April 1st.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
On a personal issue, we created the position earlier for we need to have a motion to advertise for that one.
Not yet, because we have to go up the list.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But
I'm going to no one here.
Good. All right, and it looks like we have a couple of applications to that on the flag or recommendation. So, yep, that's all I got for committee report. Any other committee?
I don't think you voted on that. We had a motion in a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Any other committee report? We do need an executive session for an update on some legal issues, but before we go in, I know we have an individual that would like to address the board. I believe it's in relation to some unfortunate news we had regarding a grant that we applied for not once, but twice, and we weren't successful in getting. So would you like to state your name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes to address the board.
Can I pull this down?
Sure.
Good evening. My name is Rick Brody, and I'm here regarding the grant that was turned out. And I spoke to the little bird group. I previously had been involved in grant writing in North Carolina, so I'm back in town in the state with my brother. We have land letter acres, and my younger brother Dave is there. He asked me if I would maybe look into this and assist him trying to move forward. And it appeared that that there really is an opportunity. And looking at talking to the LaBerge group, and I asked him questions about the process and some of the things that occurred. And I think that there might be a pretty strong possibility for us. But then they're the experts, and I am not. It's not that I don't have any experience, but I'm not an expert. So, with this opportunity, and it being quite a significant amount of money that the grant would be for, we would really like to move forward and take a look at this. If for some reason they believe that it's just not even a shot, well, by all means, then it's not a shot. But I would like to look into it deeper, and I would like to look into it as much as they will let me, and they've encouraged outside information because just more ideas they can throw away the ones that are no good and keep the ones that are good. So it looks like a good option, and I would love to see it. And I would ask for your support. And certainly, as I've mentioned, if it's no good, then let's not go. But let's at least do a little due diligence here. Let's check out and see if there really is an opportunity. That would be a huge thing.
Yeah, so I think the whole board's in support of doing anything that we can to assist in getting a successful grant award. The question for the board, because it's my understanding talking with Don Rhodes, the Bird Group, and I know you had pointed questions for him, which I think you got answers to.
We did.
But the bottom line is, my understanding is that the municipality is the entity that apply, can't be the property. So the question for the board is, you know, would you like the LaBerge group to try again basically and apply for the grant once again?
Is there any additional financial to do that?
There would be. I don't know what it is. I can't remember what we did last time. I can get that information for the board to act on in the next board meeting. But I just wanted to see if the board wanted to still try it a third time.
Well, if the parties that are the experts will be not further discussion, that there might be an opportunity. I certainly would like to support. I would like to know. We've spent 22 times in attempt to do the right thing. Put in this case to do a third time. And
so you're looking for a town to basically play.
Yeah, because as it was explained to me and as my past experience I had known, that it is only the town that can apply for it. I mean, if we had the opportunity, why can't we would just go ahead and try it.
And we'd let you do it.
And I'm sure you would. But unfortunately, we're not.
So I'll reach out to our engineer and see if we can put a proposal together for action and support meeting. So,
thank you.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
And if you could send me an email, because I won't be here for your next meeting. Well, I won't be here physically, I mean.
Yeah.
I didn't join him. You know.
We can do that.
That sounds super. Thank you all.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate what everybody's doing here. Really very much appreciate it. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you for your patience.
So, at this time, I would entertain the motion to go into executive session for the purpose of getting an update on a pending contract. For the town. additional legal ramifications.
No move. Second.
Is there any other thing else they have to talk about?
Nothing I have to talk about.
Okay. Anybody else want to make any other difference? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Recording in progress.
All set, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're coming out of executive session. I'd like the record to reflect that no action has been taken in the executive session, which takes us to other business. Any other business before the board tonight? If not, privilege of the floor. Anybody wish to be heard online?
Yeah.
Nobody present in the city?
If there's anybody online, I'm going to raise the flag.
Nah, I can't see anybody.
Alright, so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, everyone.